All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. We left off 2 weeks ago where Paul was talking about how we as believers, you know, we moan and we groan that we would be delivered from this body. And, you know, the reality of that is seen in life itself, in creation as well. And I think about Carmen's mom. We brought her to our house. And I don't know if you've been to my house, but we have these stairs that you almost have to be a marathon runner to go up. Stairs. They were meant to make it very easy for my mother-in-law, and I thought it would be, but now that I'm older, I get up there and I have an oxygen tank that when I get to the door, I go like this, and then I go in. Well, Carmen called me, says, "Hey, get ready, because I'm bringing her home." You know, they said that they want her to, I don't know why they said this, they want to get hospice involved and go to a place. And no, her doctor and these different doctors have different opinions. And I think we have the great physician. So we decided we're going to bring her to our house. You know, she started in our house. She lived with us since the 80s, Carmen's mom. I knew her, oh, man, since I met Carmen in the sixth grade. I'll never forget the days when she would slam the door in my face. And she would see me, like, outside the apartments, and she would go like this. And I thought that was her way of waving hi, you know. And but I look at her now and bringing her home, and I had to put her, we have to bring her up in a wheelchair. And if you see my yard, it's like canyon on the side. And I think, okay, we can do this, Carmen. Together we can do this. So I'm wheeling her in over the dirt bumps and everything. And every time we would hit a rock or a bump, she would groan. She would moan. She would go, And I felt bad about this, but it's the only way we can get her up. So I was like, I'm pushing her up, and she's making these sounds. But that's the weakness of our flesh. Paul says we moan and we groan that one day we would be delivered. That's temporal. I look at her and I say, wow. Anytime now, she can step into eternity and receive her just reward. That moaning and groaning, it will be sounds of rejoicing, of praising God. Everything that she heard and everything that she listened to in the Word of God, she read in her own Bible. And these last days, Carmen puts the Word of God being preached in Spanish. And she's gonna live it. She's going to see it. She no longer is going to live by faith. She's going to live by sight. And this is what Paul is talking about, that we moan and we groan that one day we're going to be delivered. And because we moan and groan, even creation moans and groans that waiting for when we, the sons of God, will be glorified. Because it's really interesting that the day that Adam fell, all creation fell with him. And when man is glorified and we get our, he takes care of at the end, the rapture of the church, and all is done, all creation is going to glorify when that day happens as well, because it's moaning and groaning. You can look at it. Look at the earth, what's going on. The chaos in the world. It's like the earth itself is like, when am I going to be delivered as well? And it will be. There'll be a new heaven and new earth. And so in verse 26, look what Paul says. He says, "And likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Isn't it great to know that when we suffer, when we are at our weakness, that word weakness means to be feebleness, whether it's of mind, whether it's of body, whether it's morally, whether it's spiritually, whether it's in disease or sickness or weakness, that when we are at this point, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Now, I'm going to share this verse with you, and I'm going to share it in maybe four different translations of the Bible, just so you can understand the greatness of God. Listen to what Psalms 130, verse 3. And Oscar shared this last week, and I was really blessed by this. It caused me to really think about. He shared this when we were praying. He shares, and it says this, and I love the way it's said in the different translations. In the New American Standard, the NIV, it says this. In Psalms 133, it says, if you, O Lord, keep a record of sin, O Lord, who can stand? Listen to it in the Living Translation. It says, Lord, if you keep in mind our sins, then who can ever get an answer to his prayers? But you forgive, what an awesome thing this is. Listen to what the New Century Version says. Lord, if you punish people for all their sins, no one would be left. Listen to the International Reader's Version. Lord, suppose you kept a record of sin. Lord, who then wouldn't be found guilty? Excuse me. And then there's the Complete Jewish Bible. Yah. You know, for Yahweh. Yah. If you keep a record of sin, who, Adonai, could stand? Isn't that amazing that the Holy Spirit is here to help us? It's scriptural truth. The Word of God tells us that he helps us in our infirmities, our weaknesses. I think we got to remember that when we go through whatever we're going through. Like, I think of Carmen's mom. I think, God, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to help her in this weakness right now. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said this. He said that the Lord spoke to him, and he said this, my grace is sufficient for you, for when my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You hear that? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you're the weakest, that's when the Holy Spirit intercedes. Even though these passages I read, they deal with the subject of prayer, it's just encouraging to know that our Lord is there for us when we really need him the most. Isn't that when God's there? I mean, the Holy Spirit, he groans and he moans with us. He feels what we go through. I really believe that our struggles and our burdens, our weaknesses and our sufferings, he knows what we're going through. And it's beautiful that Paul tells us that the Spirit just doesn't moan and groan for us. He actually makes intercession for us. So you know what that means? He prays for us, especially when we don't know how or what to pray. He intercedes for us. And his whole purpose of interceding for us is for the purpose that he wants to lead us to do the will of God. Because that's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Listen to what he said. Remember Simon? He came up to Simon. He said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. I mean, how many of you can relate to that? How many of you can you relate to Satan? He's there. And you know what he's trying to sift? He's trying to sift the things of God out of your life. And it's going to get more intense. It's going to get more harder. It's going to get worse as the years go on. But be encouraged that Jesus said, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brother. Jesus was interceding for Peter that what? That his strength would, he wouldn't fail in his strength. That Peter would not lose hope. It's not like he didn't have faith in God, but that hope that he had, you know, his faith didn't fail him. I believe the Lord was talking about his hope. Because Peter, he believed in the Lord. He loved the Lord. And even though he ended up denying the Lord three times, can you imagine being with Jesus and seeing him do all the miracles and his teaching? And then when the time came, when rubber met the road, for you to acknowledge Jesus, acknowledge him, that you denied him three times. When Peter denied Jesus, his hope was shaken. When he saw Jesus come, they came in the garden, they led him away, and they brought him to Caiaphas. He lost hope. And sometimes we can lose hope in the work of the Lord in our lives as well. You know, it's just simply because we don't understand how the things work for the good sometimes. That's what Paul said, all things work for the good. Sometimes we don't understand. How can anything good come out of this? And I know you heard this story. I like this story. A number of years ago, they did a study, it was done on Norwegian wharf rats. You heard that one? I'm sure you did. Yeah. They took a bunch of rats, two groups of rats, and they threw them into the open water. One group, you know, they were paddling, dog, rat paddling. It's not dog paddling, but rat paddling for about 3.5 hours before they drowned. And then the second group was thrown in. But right before they were drowning, they plucked them out. So the next day, these same rats that they plucked out right before they drowned, when the rats were thrown back into the water, they were astonished to find out that they were able to tread the water for 45 minutes more than what they were ready to drown. Why? They had hope. They had hope that they were going to be rescued that as they were that previous day. But see, that's us. We have to have hope and to believe that we're going to be rescued no matter what you're going through. We're not going to sink. Hope will help us to paddle through the waters of the hard times. You know, you go out there in the water and you're out there, you know, you're trying to keep in the water and it's deep and you get very tired. But what do when you're very tired? You just float on your back. And you float on your back, you get your strength, you can paddle some more. But that's what the Holy Spirit is also doing for us. He's interceding that we'll be strengthened in the will of God, that we will have our hope in God, especially in the times when we need it the most. Look what he says in verse 26. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, sometimes we don't know how to pray according to here, but I want you to notice something that's encouraging. Look what Paul says here. He uses the word we. You know what that means? That means Paul includes himself. He includes himself in this. And that encourages me that here this man of God, Paul, who next to Jesus, he's next in line in my book, who wrote most of the New Testament, says that he himself sometimes doesn't know how to pray or what to pray. He doesn't say you or and not me. He says we all believers sometimes don't know how to pray. When I think about what keeps us from praying or coming into fellowship with the Lord, it's no wonder that the Holy Spirit needs to step in for us. You know what I mean? When I think about what is it that keeps us from getting into the Word of God, what is it that keeps us from praying? And I kind of looked up some of the reasons why. And the reasons why we find ourselves not praying is because, one, the weakness of the flesh. That's the battle, right? The flesh. We're up against the battle, the struggles between the flesh and the spirit. The spirit is willing in me, but the flesh is weak. Also, the lack of power and desire of prayer. Some of us say, hey, you know what? I don't have that power to pray. People think that pastor has to do it. Pastor doesn't have to do it. You have that same authority to pray as well as the pastor. But sometimes we lack the power and desire to prayer. Or how about the lack of concentration? That comes in. Don't you notice that when you pray, all of a sudden you start to wander, right? There's the distractions. That's why when we pray, I like to sit right in the middle. You know, right there, right in the middle, because when you sit in the outskirts, there's always that chance, that chance of distractions. Our mind, they start to wonder. You know, you pray, and where did that thought come from? I found myself, you know, this is funny, but this really happened at the Bible study when Pastor Bobby had a Bible study in his house, and we were praying, and I was sitting there, and I was so tired. My flesh was just aching to close my eyes. And I'm like, okay, prayer, great, I'll just close my eyes. Big mistake. You don't want to close your eyes when you pray when you are super tired. So I closed my eyes, and then all of a sudden I found myself, Lord, I just want to ask that you bless us. Lord, please bless the carpet. And I caught myself praying for the carpet, and I woke up, and I was so embarrassed. Yes, Lord, let your Holy Spirit just change our lives. And I can hear little giggles, you know. Our mind starts to wander, or maybe our emotions get in the way. But it seems sometimes that it's always, those things are always trying to keep us from growing closer to the Lord. keep us from spending time with the Lord, whether it's through prayer, whether it's reading the Word, fellowship, getting involved, helping others. There's always a battle, a struggle. Look what he says in verse 26. He says, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, right? The Spirit helps us in our infirmities. So whatever your weakness is, he's there for you. You gotta. That's your hope. You gotta tell yourself that, especially when it comes to prayer, because he will help you when you are struggling to pray. He helps us to stay focused. He helps us to stay concentrated on prayer through those distractions, through those wandering thoughts, our emotions. Through prayer, he intercedes for us in our weaknesses. Sometimes, you know, you come to church here, how many of you got an evil thought? We're in church. Lord, how can I think about that? Lord, oh, what a wretched man that I am. And God, the Word of God comes and says, hey, that's not you. The Bible, Ephesians chapter 6, tells us that Satan is shooting fiery darts. So I'm in there. I'm here to fellowship. I'm here to hear the Word of God. I'm here to worship. I'm here to pray. All of a sudden I think, oh, Lord, I would like to choke that person. You know, oh, Lord, instead of putting something in the bag, I'd like to take something out. Oh, Lord, this thought, that thought, or wow, look at that one, Lord. That didn't come from you. That came from the fiery dart that Satan's there going like this, shooting that in your mind. And then when you take that thought, you start to add to it, start to build it up. Then that's when you start to get in trouble. But it always happens. Every time we step out for God, something happens, some kind of distraction. Like this farmer's swap meet, that is a big distraction here. And they even told me, I just want to apologize. And I know it's hard for your church on Sunday. They apologize for this. But how many times and how many people drive up and say, well, you know, I can't find a parking, and I don't want to park a block away. I'm just going to go home. That's the enemy. That's the distraction. That's our minds wandering and our emotions get in the way to come in here to pray, to worship, and to fellowship. That right there is used to try to hinder us doing this right here. Or how many things you do Saturday night determine your worship on Sunday morning. Never determine your worship on God, on others, and other things. I don't allow anything or anybody to determine my worship of God. I'm going to worship him because the Spirit helps us in our infirmities. Whatever we are going through, he helps us and intercedes for us in our weakness. He leads us to pray as we should pray. When times in our lives become so heavy for us, you know, and we think we can't bear up these circumstances or we can't bear up what we're going through, when our emotions become too great to express in words, that's when he prays on our behalf. How many times someone asks you to pray, and I get it all the time, and we say, okay, let's pray, and I'm like, what am I trying to say here? What am I trying to pray? And inside my heart is just moaning and groaning, and I'm like making little noises like, That's when the Holy Spirit comes in, and he interprets that moaning and groaning, and he brings that prayer up to the Father. It's okay. One thing, people come up for counseling, I tell them, I don't have all the answers, but what I do have is prayer. I'll pray for you. I might not have the answer you're looking for, but I can pray for you. That I can do. And sometimes I won't even say a word. I'll just start in prayer, and I'll just in my mind or my thought, I just let the Holy Spirit intercede what I'm trying to say, because that's what he does. He does it on our behalf. Listen to what Chuck Smith says. I like what he says about prayer. He says, the purpose of prayer is never to accomplish my will. The real purpose of prayer is always to accomplish God's will. If I think of prayer as an instrument by which I can get my will done, I totally misunderstand prayer. That was never God's intention, that prayer should be the instrument by which man can accomplish his will upon the earth. Prayer is the instrument by which we cooperate with God and the accomplishing of his will upon the earth. As Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. And that is always the real thrust of prayer. But I always do not know what God's will is, and therein is where the Spirit steps in and helps me, and he will make intercession for me with groanings which cannot be uttered. Isn't that awesome? That's the whole purpose of prayer, is to get God's will to be done, not my will. God wants direct prayers, not directional prayer. He doesn't want you to tell him how to do it. He already knows how to do it. In fact, it's already done in his eyes. Sometimes you pray, you try to tell God how to do it. Lord, I want you to, he wants us to be specific. You can be direct, but don't go and say, this is how I want you to do it, God. You're trying to tell God who made you, even before you existed, how to do it. He knows what's best for us. Look what he says in verse 27. He says, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God searches the heart of each and every one of us. You know what that means? When it says he searches the heart, that means he investigates. He knows exactly what is within our hearts, what's in our thoughts, or our feelings, our mind. They all go hand in hand. That's how big our God is. He investigates what's in our hearts. He comes up, he looks at you, and he says, let me check out that heart. Let me investigate here. Let me see what's going on. He searches the hearts. So he can read and he can understand what our groanings and our moanings and what we're feeling when we pray. God also knows the mind of the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit prays for us, he prays according what? To the will of God. So God knows exactly what the Spirit is requesting for us. He knows. God knows what, when the Spirit intercedes for us, God knows what he's saying, because they are in perfect agreement with one another. And that falls in line with what Jesus said, where two or three are gathered. Guess what? He's in the midst. Isn't that beautiful? When two or three are gathered, Jesus said, I'm there. I'm in agreement. And I'm in agreement with the Father, just like the Spirit is. So God's working all things out for those who love him. Look what he says in verse 28. He says, and we know that most things. No? I'm sorry. We know that some things. No? We know that just the things that are good and not bad. No. We know that all things work to good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. All things. God says he's going to work out all things who what? Who love him. This is the promise right here. This is a promise of deliverance for us. Not some things. Not most things. Not the things that are good and the things that are not bad. When things don't turn out the way we want, therefore we think, okay, things are not turning out for the good. He says all things. Even if it doesn't seem like it's working out for the good, or maybe just because you don't understand what's going on, you don't see the good in it, that's when you have to trust in these words, these promises. These words, they should bring comfort in your heart when you don't understand what's going on. The very words that you're hearing right now, the very words that you just read that are declaring to you that all things work for the good, for what? To the believer. For me, I don't care how bad I'm struggling or what I'm going through, it's going to work out for the good. Ma, whatever she's going through, it's going to work out for the good. We get the opportunity. Hey, she started in our home. She's going to end in our home. But we get to give her the gospel. She wasn't going to get that in the other home. She's going to get it in our home. She's going to get the word of God, not only in English, but in Spanish. I'm going to read it to her in Spanish. What you trying to say? What you trying to say? I got a translator on my phone, and I use it. So all things work for the good. And I really believe that this verse in 28, man, there is nothing that's so assuring for you as a Christian that God's going to work all things out for the good. I want you to notice four things that Paul points out. First, the word all things. Listen to what that means. The word all things here in verse 28, that goes far beyond everything that takes place in this world. In other words, God just doesn't control everything that takes place in the world. The meaning, the word all things means that he rules all things. That's a big difference there. It's not that he just controls all things. He rules over all things. Therefore, anything that happens in your life, he's going to work it out for the good on your behalf. And then second, the words work together. In the Greek, listen to what that means. The word work together means to create, to to create, illuminate. There we go. I just got to get off my tongue. It means to place, to replace, to connect, to group, to shape, to forge, to press, to stretch, to move, to operate, to control and guide, to arrange and influence. That's what the word work together means. But it also means, it also is talking about in a present action. See, this is important because that means that all things are going to continue to work together for the good. It's a continued present action. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a past thing. Work together means it's going to continue to work together for the good. It's not going to stop. It's going to keep going, and God's in control of your life daily, moment by moment. God is arranging, rearranging all things for what? For the good, even if it doesn't look like it. It's going to work out for the good. And then third, look at the word good. The word good means for the ultimate good. You know, think about it. You can only see the events that are happening right in front of you, right? You only see what's happening today, what's going to happen today or tomorrow. Things in the past already happened, right? We can only see those events that are happening right in front of us. But God, he sees the future. He sees all the events that are going to happen, everything that's going to take place in your life. God takes all those events in your life and he works them out for the good. Tomorrow, I'm going to have some drama. Tomorrow, I'm going to go through some heartache. Tomorrow, I'm going to go through some blessings. But God already seen that happen. And God's idea is already, see, this is how big your God is. And I think that's probably, you need to ask yourself, how big is my God? Is your God a puny little God? Or is he a big God? My God's feet rest on the earth. His feet. You know, you ever put your, how many of you have an office? You lay back, you pull that little knob of the chair and your chair goes back and then you put your feet on the desk. You know, that's what God does to the earth. Look how big his feet are. And who can wear his shoes? Who can wear his chanclas? Can you imagine being spanked by his chancla? Man. He sees it all, and he works it out for the good. And then fourth, here's the fine print, guys. The fine print. Okay, there's always fine print. In fact, let me throw this out at you. You know the Ring doorbell? It's a doorbell you connect to your house, and you can actually see people when they come up. You can talk to them. You can record those who come up. It's a big deal right now because you know how many people are stealing packages from your... Well, you can buy this doorbell, you can install it, and then you can, when somebody comes up, no matter where you are, you can talk to them. Sound good to me? I bought it. It's great. I love it. I connected, installed it, downloaded the app. First day, first night, 4:30 in the morning, it woke me up, it alerted me that somebody's at my front door. Who's at my front door at 4:30 in the morning? So I went on there, and I'm laying in bed, I went on the app, and poof, her camera came on. And there's something walking on the porch on the armrest. It turns around. It actually walks right up to the camera, and the nose hits the camera. It's a cat, and I don't even know who the cat it belongs to. But man, I tell you what, I was so bummed because I forgot to hit the speaker because I was going to go, ah, watch that cat jump. You know, that would have been great. And then you can download the event. So I went on there and I downloaded, hey, beware of the cat burglar. Well, you got to read the fine print. That was good. I decided to order another one for the church so we can place it out here where all the people are peeing every night. So when they come there, I'm going to say, hey, yeah, what you doing? I'm going to have a ball with that one. Hey, I got eyes on you. I'm watching you. Well, again, you got to read the fine print. I ordered it, and when they came, I was like, wow, this is different. It only worked. This one I ordered and purchased, it only works for an iPhone. I can't use it. So if you have an iPhone, if you want something like that, I have it available. You know, yeah, the church body, you just got to buy it. And for $89.99, I'll even throw in the batteries and the battery charger for free. But see, reason why did I bring that up? Oh, yeah, the fine print. Guys, you got to really consider the fine print when you go through your life's events, your life experiences. What Paul says here, that all things work for the good. You got to read the fine print, and that is God works all things out for the good only to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. That's the fine print. God would always look after us. He's going to always take care of us, but he's only going to take care of those who love him. Think about it for a moment. It's only common sense. If a person does not love God, if they don't place their life in the hands of God, how can God take care of them? If you turn your back on God, if you walk away from him, how can he look after you? God's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to force his care on you, on anyone. He doesn't want robots. He's not going to force you to live for him, to serve him, to worship him. That would be a fake relationship. That would be like a mail order bride. You order a bride, she don't love you, but you order her and you have her and she don't even love you. God is not going to force you to love him. You're either going to choose to love him or you're going to choose to love the world. You're either going to choose to put your faith into his hands or your faith in your own hands. It's your choice. But I want you to notice these words here, called according to his purpose here in verse 28. That tells us that our deliverance is purposed by God. God called us for the purpose of being saved from the struggles, from the sufferings, from the moanings and the groanings that we go through in our life. That's the purpose of God. So a person who truly loves God, a person who's truly walking in the Spirit, a person who's truly seeking a life of godliness, and that person is going to experience all things being worked out for the good. And going to be delivered from this world. I'm going to be delivered from this world. And you know what? It may not work out for the good in the sense that it's going to be great sometimes. But God said, it will never overcome me. I will overcome it. People think that your prayers aren't answered. God always answers prayers. Just sometimes it's not according to how you want it. Sometimes it's not yes. Sometimes it's no. Paul was an example of that. He prayed 3 times. Lord, heal me from my infirmities. God said no. If anybody needed to be healed, Paul. He deserved it. But God said no. Because in that weakness, in that affirming, in that struggle, I'm going to be glorified through it. And that's the very thing that keeps you humble, the very thing that keeps you coming back to me. Why would God take away from your life something that keeps you coming to him? Whether it's a circumstance, a struggle, a hardship. Lord, deliver me from this. So he delivers you. Now, I don't hear him. God says, I don't hear you saying Lord anymore. Look at verse 29. He says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Don't it feel good to know that God foreknew you? You know what that means? That means that he ordained you. That means he knew you beforehand. He foreseen it. I love what Jeremiah, the Lord told Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 5. He says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctify you. I ordain you a prophet to the nations. And then Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6, he said, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before what? The foundations of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, and have predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praises of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Who would have known? But God knew. That he chose you, he foreordained you, he foreknew you before even the world existed. How can he do that? Well, God is omniscient. That means he knows everything. Nothing ever takes him by surprise. Don't think God don't know because you think you can't see him. Oh, you know, I'm going to hide over here. God surely can't see me now. You know, what I'm doing, oh, I'm going to hide. Long as my family can't see me, long as the church can't see me, long as, you know, people can't see me, I'm going to hide. Hey, God's omniscient. God's omnipresent. God is all sovereign. Nothing ever takes him by surprise. God is seeing you. And the reason why you keep doing it is only because you can't see him in the flesh. But if God was in the flesh, if Jesus was in the flesh, you wouldn't be doing that. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And although, you know, and it's through his foreknowledge, he predestined that, what, you should be one of his children. Isn't that beautiful? God predestined before the world existed that you're going to be one of his kids. Even though I didn't start off that way, I didn't start good, but I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to end good. I'm going to end good because one day I'm going to stand in the presence of God. He's going to say, enter the joy of the Lord, thy good and faithful servant. I'm not going to be satisfied with just barely making it in. You know, God's going to shut the gate. You put your foot in there and the gate shuts and then you kind of, you know. Okay, I'm going to squeeze in there, you know. No, I'm not going to be content with the fact that I'm saved and that's it. As long as I get a D in my relationship with God, I'm saved. I'm going to get an A and I'm going to become the valedictorian of my walk with God. So you too. Sure. You know, he wants us to be conformed into the image of his son, into Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the firstborn among everyone who walked this earth. Isn't that beautiful? God has determined to fulfill his purpose in us. I love it. To the believers, he wants us to plant it in. He wants to plant it in our hearts. He wants us to be assured of our salvation. He wants us to have strong confidence that we are saved. I'm forgiven. And God knows the suffering that we go through daily. He knows. Don't you think? You know, he considers everything we go through. And I really believe our struggles, that God does consider them. He foreknew, even before the foundations of the world ever existed. So whatever suffering you're going through, whatever struggles you're going through, whether it's the opposition, trials, God is going to complete his purpose in you. Because why? He predestined us to be conformed into the image of his son, according to the scripture. And nothing can change that. Nothing. You can't change God's will. He's going to do it. And you want to know why?
Why?
That Christ might be the firstborn, that he may have total preeminence among many brethren, according to verse 29. That's why. I like to think because Jesus gained a lot of brothers and sisters, stepbrothers and sisters, and God gained a lot of children. God loved his son so much, he loved Jesus so much that he gave up his life so that what? Jesus could have more adopted brothers and sisters who would love him, who would serve him as the firstborn. He's the firstborn. We're talking about the first person who has the most preeminence in the whole universe. God ordained Jesus that he would be above all and that he would take that highest position and that he would be the head of all creation. It was all made for him. He's the one that every man is going to look up to. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul said that. He said that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on the earth, visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the first from the dead, that it, in all things he may have the preeminence. If I even said that right. Preeminence. Exactly. So the bottom line is God's going to fulfill his purpose in every one of you. Everybody who calls himself a believer, and nothing can stop his purpose because he is God. Amen.